If someone examined a week in your life, would it be obvious by how you act and love others that you are a child of God, not a product of the world's values? Does practice in daily life reflect the character of Christ? Or is there a gap between belief and the patterns shaping your words, choices, and how others are treated? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Check us out at fpiw.org or fpiwaction.org. If you're enjoying these daily devotionals, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. It really does help us accomplish our mission and vision at FPIW. So what are we trying to accomplish with these devotionals? Well, first and foremost, we know that if we change our hearts, so on your way to work today, as you get a 10-minute devotional, we're hoping that the Word of God changes your heart, and that will in turn change the public square. We know that without a changed heart, you can't have changed policy, changed relationships in the public square, a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ and for those around you. And so we're working on heart change each and every day at FPIW. And we're hoping that you're joining with us on this mission to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. So let's dive in today. We're starting a new series called Practice. And this title of this one is the same thing, Romans 2:1. It says, therefore, you have no excuse. Now, you should ask, what's the therefore? Therefore, men have suppressed truth and unrighteousness. God has made himself evident to people. God has given them over to their burning desires. God has done all these things because he has shown truth to them, but they have rejected Almighty God. They've either done that through rejecting creation, or they've done that through rejecting his word, or those kind of things. And he says, therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. So let me ask you something. Are you practicing the same things of the world? Are you living it up the way the world lives it up? That's what we got to ask ourselves. We should be different from the world. We should be transformed and changed and renewed and reshaped by the power of Almighty God. And I want to ask you, are you living like the world's living? And so we're going to look at an extended portion of scripture from 1 John. It's chapter 3. It's the entire chapter. I know you're probably driving, but I want you to hear this word because it's so important. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we would be called children of God. And such we are. You're a child of God because God called you that. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. You're purified just as Jesus is pure. Everyone who practices, underline practices, sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. So what are we seeing in the public square right now? We're seeing lawlessness increase. Why? Because people are practicing sin. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him, there is no sin. Jesus is sinless, was sinless, will always be sinless. He is the Son of God. There is no sin in Jesus. And no one who abides in him sins, and no one who sins has seen him or knows him. So you may be thinking, wait a minute, aren't we all sinners? Yes, before Jesus, we're all sinners. But there's been a transformational work of the Holy Spirit transferring us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son, into the family of God. We went from being an orphan, a child of the devil, to being a child of the living King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. So what are you practicing today as you go to work? Are you practicing unrighteousness or are you practicing righteousness? If you're a child of the devil, you're going to practice unrighteousness. If you're a child of God, you will be practicing righteousness. Does this mean you're perfect? No. But what you are doing today is when you show up to the baseball field, you play baseball. When you show up to the basketball court, you're playing basketball. When you show up to the football field, you are practicing football. The thing that you show up to, that's what you're going to practice. And today you're going to show up in righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so what does that mean? That field of righteousness, people there practice righteousness. What is righteousness? It's doing the right thing that honors and glorifies God. The one who practices sin is of the devil. So if you're out, you're saying, hey, I'm just a sinner. I'm going to fall apart. I'm going to do all these things. I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm going to practice sin. So who cares? I just give up. I'm going to live the way I want to live. The Bible says that you're of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. And the Son of God, Jesus, appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand that Jesus dwelling inside of you, the Son of God, has shown himself up inside of you to destroy the works of the devil? So what are you practicing today? Are you practicing the same things that the world is practicing? Or are you practicing the very things of God? No one who is born of God practices sin. This means you can't be living with your boyfriend. You can't be living in adultery. You can't be living in all these things and call yourself a Christian. Because if you're living in willful disobedience to God, if you're willfully a swindler as a business person, you're practicing taking advantage of people financially. I just want you to know, the Word of God says you're not born again. You say, wait, I want to repent. I want to stop. Good, do it today. Today is the day of salvation, because his seed, Jesus' seed, abides in you, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You have been born of God. You are brand new. Then it says this: by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. It's obvious who is a child of God and who is a child of the devil. Now, you may not like that language. Like, that's so abrupt. That's so harsh. That's so this. That's so that. You know, I don't know that John really cared. He's being incredibly, emphatically obvious to you. It's obvious who's a child of God and who's a child of the devil. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. If you are practicing the things contrary to the Word of God, you're not of God. If you're practicing being a liar, a deceiver, if you're practicing being a person who takes advantage of the vulnerable, you're practicing sin and you're not of God. Nor the one who does not love his brother. Whoa. The Christian cannot, should not, will not, if they're truly a Christian, not love his brother. Now, some say, well, who's my brother? Well, Jesus was asked this question. And the reality is, you could see it as your fellow created man or human beings. You could see this as a brother in Christ. But there is no room in our hearts for the bitterness of this world and the unforgiveness of the devil to rise into our hearts and take root and take precedence in our hearts. I don't know how many of you saw Erica Trump the other day. She said, I forgive the person who shot my husband. What is she saying? She's saying, I am no longer the judge. I turn that human being over to the living God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the judge. And just so we're clear, he's already judged murder. He says that is practicing unrighteousness and is warrant of the death penalty. I'm just shooting straight with you. The person who practices unrighteousness. Now, that guy comes out and says, I'm a Christian. Well, you sure didn't live like it in that moment. You better repent, because you're probably going to experience the death penalty. And when you stand before God, he is not going to be one happy camper because you killed one of his creations. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. Or for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil. Cain's deeds were evil. And God's counsel to Cain was, if you do what's right, your countenance will be lifted up. But if not, sin is crouching at your door and you must master it. So what are we saying? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous? See, there's an example in the Old Testament. I think it's Genesis chapter 4, if I remember, maybe it's chapter 5. But we see this example of two brothers that one was righteous and one was unrighteous. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. If the world hates you, understand this. They hated Christ first. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. Does not boast. Is not jealous. Keeps no record of wrong. Does not, bears up underneath and hopes in all things, believes in all things. We must love our brethren. So this is how we know that we've passed out of death into life. There'll be a supernatural love for the brethren. Again, define that how you may. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. If you've murdered, now at war, being in battle at war versus murdering someone, taking judgment into your own hands, if you have done that, there's no eternal life abiding in you. I didn't write it. It says it right there. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his eyes and heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Wow. What are you practicing? We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before him. And whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Are you practicing righteousness or are you practicing unrighteousness? Are you loving your brother? Are you feeding the hungry? Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Believe in Jesus today. Believe in Jesus today, just as he commands us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. So what's our application for today? First off, what are you practicing? You're headed off to that workplace today. You're driving that car today. You're headed in. What are you practicing? Righteousness? Unrighteousness? Today, practice righteousness. Today, practice loving your brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go throughout our day today that we will practice righteousness. We will practice loving our brother. That there would be no hateful thought inside of us, regardless of party, Republican, Democrat, Independent. God, that we would not murder our brother in our hearts and in our minds, but we would love them. And love is not coddling, God. Love is speaking truth. Love is speaking righteousness. Love is speaking holiness. And love is telling someone they're going to fall off a cliff. Lord, let us truly love others. Help us to evaluate what we are practicing in Jesus' name. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.